From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns with you once again, welcoming you to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us as we turn once more to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, to continue our study of Christ, the friend of sinners. We're looking at the Lord Jesus as the one who loves and saves sinners and then gives them a love for Him, who makes all things new with a joyous newness in the lives of those whom He saves by His grace. That's our topic. I trust you'll stay with us as we look into the Word of God together. But first, our hot topic for today. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Governor of California, has been teaching the Green Movement how to get its way. He told them that they, quotes, need to stop nagging and make their cause sexy, likening it to bodybuilding's evolution from a weird pursuit to mainstream. Bodybuilding used to have a very sketchy image, the former bodybuilding champion told an environmental forum at Georgetown University. He said, it had fanatics and it had weird people. But we changed that. It became sexy, attractive, like bodybuilders. Environmentalists were thought of as kind of weird, and fanatics also, you know, the serious tree huggers, he said. Sure, we all know the kind of tree-hugging, earth-worshipping fanatics the governor's talking about. As he says, they're weird. The really weird thing, however, is Schwarzenegger's blithe adoption of the very same program as the weird people he blames for getting environmentalism a bad name. How weird? Well, consider the following. In Europe, the fertility rate is about 1.5. Yet green lobbyists, besotted with the latest jargon of a carbon footprint, are lamenting that too many people are producing too many children. They have a standard that families should have no more than two children. Now, the last time I tried my hand at math, 1.5 was less than two. So what's the deal here? It seems to be that while the Greens would like other parts of the world to limit themselves to two children per family, they would like the West to lead the way by decreasing its fertility rate even further. Now, economically, that's the road to disaster. But who among the Greens cares about such details? Some time back, the Green Movement warned that cows posed a major threat to the future of the earth. They produce too much methane gas. Evidently, so do those pesky babies with their dirty diapers. We either get rid of the babies or get rid of the planet. That seems to be the message. The Bible says that children are the heritage of the Lord, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Blessed is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Rejecting this, the Greens are clambering on board the same wagon as the Chinese Communists. Thus far, the Greens have power only to announce their crackpot notions as policy ideals. The Chinese have put the muscle of law behind a similar policy, a move that has led to the abandonment and death of countless children. I have often said that the Green Parties are just another way of trying to achieve the big government statism that communism failed to impose. Their attitude to births and babies is just a case in point. It doesn't really matter who's doing the dictating, Reds or Greens, if the result is the same godless enactment of anti-family laws. No matter how sexy, to use Arnold Schwarzenegger's term, you make the green agenda, it's still weird. It's even more than weird. It's wicked. listening to Let the Bible Speak, and we're grateful to you for tuning our way. We're constantly encouraged by the letters and the emails and the telephone calls that we've received from our listeners. But you know, I'm sure there are many of you out there who have often said, you know, I'd really need to be in touch with them, let them know that I'm listening in and God has blessed His Word to my heart. Well, I hope that you'll take the opportunity to make up for that omission and get in touch today. Let me assure you that here at Let the Bible Speak, we never beg for your support. We never make an offer that's really just a cover for asking you for something. We all know that there are many, many programs and they say, we're sending you this, we'll give you that, and then they inundate you with begging letters. We will never do that, nor will we ever pass on your personal information to anyone else. So I trust you'll feel free to get in touch. Don't forget our quarterly magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, which you may have simply by asking. Or don't forget our Plain Man's Guide to God's Way of Salvation and Assurance. We call it A New Beginning. And you may also have that simply by asking. So I trust you'll be in touch and that we'll be hearing from you today. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may telephone us toll free, 1-866-877-5827, 866-877-LTBS. Or, of course, you may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. So there are various ways for you to get in touch. I trust that you'll make use of one of them today and that we will be hearing from you. Ended yesterday's broadcast by making the point that Christ repudiates all religion that is merely ritualistic or self-righteous. We noted that it's possible to be theologically orthodox and yet have no heart for sinners. We take up the message at that point because that's the kind of religion that the Lord Jesus Christ condemns and that we must avoid. You will notice that he repudiates all religion that is ritual, all religion that is full of self-righteousness, but that has no heart for sinners. He refers them back to the Old Testament scriptures, and he says, go and learn what it means when God says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Now hold a second. Who instituted the sacrificial system? The Lord. And yet he says, take away your sacrifices. Take away your sacrifices. I'm not interested in your sacrifices.
Why?
Had God reversed himself? No, sir. But he says, a religion that goes through the ritual and the various steps without a heart is a religion of people drawing nigh with their lips, and their heart is far from God, and God abominates it. Now, if he said that to the Jews, I wonder what he would say today. If there's one thing missing in most churches, it's heart. It's very possible to be doctrinally accurate, to be theologically correct, and to have no heart. And that's the very religion that the Lord Jesus Christ here was criticizing. Remember, the Pharisees were so accurate in their theology that Jesus said they sit in Moses' seat. So therefore, when they're expounding the scriptures, do what they tell you to do. That's how accurate they were. But they did not have a heart. And the Lord Jesus repudiates religion that has all the ritual and is full of self-righteousness, but has nothing but criticism, judgment, and rejection for sinners. Now let's not miss the point here, make it a wrong point. The Lord Jesus was willing to judge sin. The Lord Jesus was willing to name sin. The Lord Jesus was willing to take a stand against sin. But he wanted to save people from their sin. And that's what his church is supposed to be doing as well. So his purpose in coming into the world, he says, is not to call the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. Do you notice a great contrast between what we saw a week or two back? In Matthew 8:19, we have a scribe coming to Jesus and saying, Master, I'll follow you wheresoever you go. Jesus did not receive him. He said, reading no doubt his half-heartedness, he said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And we don't hear another word about that scribe. He had no desire to live the life that Christ was calling him to. He had no willingness to face the sacrifices that Christ was calling him to, the hardship as he had to stand outside the camp with Christ. He had no heart for that. Oh, he was willing to bring his prestige and his position and lay it all there for the benefit of the Lord Jesus. I'm willing to be your follower. And Jesus wouldn't have him. If you think you're coming to Christ to confer any benefit on him, you better think again. I always get a little bit worried about these people who are coming to Jesus to confer upon him their great talent, their great ability, their great this and their great that. The only thing you have to bring to Christ is your great sin. Nothing else. Oh, he can use any talent that you have if he so wills to. And he can just as easily set it aside. He has taken great musicians and buried them as far as the eyes of the world are concerned in some backwoods, in some mission field where they will never play their instrument, but they'll win souls for Christ, and that's the important thing. He's taken many a great scientist or a man of scientific ability and used him as a preacher of the Word of God. He took Lloyd Jones from being a great medical man and made him a greater preacher. You're not conferring anything on Jesus when you come to him. You're just bringing your sin. And he'll use you as and when and why and where he wills. He comes to the sinner. And he says, follow me. And what transforming power he then demonstrated. I don't want to preach in Matthew this morning, because this is part of the life of Christ. I have preached on Matthew in his character, his person, when I was going through the 12 disciples. So anybody who wants to know what I think of Matthew, you'll have to just go get that tape. But let me say that in Matthew you do see the transforming power of Jesus Christ. He loves a sinner, not with some mere sloppy sentimental wish to do him good, but he loves him with a mighty, powerful, sovereign, transforming, redeeming, saving love. That's the love of Jesus Christ. He takes him from being a publican and immediately he makes him a disciple. Not only so, but there's such a glorious transformation. Notice the progression as you go through the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Matthew we read that Matthew arose and followed him, and then Jesus sat down in the house with Matthew and a lot of other sinners. In Mark's gospel, chapter 2, we read that this meal was not only in the house, it was in Matthew's house. And then when we get to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, we are told Matthew made a great feast. Now, you would never gather that from Matthew's Gospel. He wasn't boasting about what he had done. But here was this money-grubbing tax gatherer, a man who had sold his life, his reputation, he had betrayed his nation, he had done everything. What for? To rake in whatever money he could. And mind you, he was selling his soul for little enough, because the men who made the big money out of this would be his overlords. But he had sold himself for all. He was a money-grubbing, self-centered, wicked sinner. And yet, as soon as he's saved, he's transformed. Now he's a giving person. And now he's a humble, self-effacing person. And that's moments after he was converted. Jesus loves sinners. Second thing, let me say that Jesus causes the sinners whom he saves to love him. You'll see that in Matthew's feast. Christ becomes the very center of their entire existence. Now, I'll sum this up very quickly. I don't want to take time to preach on it, really. But he is immediately the focus of their witness. As soon as Matthew became a follower of Christ, what did he do? He set up a feast. He opened his house. And he called his publican and sinner friends. Immediately. In other words, as soon as Matthew got saved, he wanted everybody to know about it. As soon as Christ had delivered him, he wanted to bring others into the presence of the Savior, that these sick souls would be cured, that these sinners would also be called, that these guilty, wretched outcasts would meet with the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. He was the focus of their witness. And I want to tell you, it's one of the great marks of a genuine conversion that people who are saved want to witness. Now, at times they may lack the words. At times they may get afraid. At times they may be scared. They may be tripped up by some superior intelligence. But nonetheless, there is a burden on the heart of a person who's got saved to tell others and to bring others to Christ. There's something wrong with the religion of a person who says, I have got it all, and I don't care if nobody else ever receives it. I have met with Jesus, and I don't care that nobody else ever meets with Him. My sins are gone, but I have no interest in the sins of others being taken away. There's something wrong with that kind of religion. It certainly wasn't Matthew's religion. And it's not the religion of Jesus Christ. When He saves you, He causes you to love Him. And it's not just the love for sinners that would make you do what Matthew did and open your heart and open your mouth and open your home. No, that's not. It's not just the love for sinners. It's a love for Christ. Matthew was so entranced with Christ. He was so taken up with Christ. His own heart was so full of Christ. That's what drove him. And that's what Paul witnesses to in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14 when he says, "The love of Christ constraineth us." The love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ motivates us. The love of Christ moves us. He loves us. We love Him, and that's what sets us going. Men and women, I tell you, Christ must be the focus of our witness. If He loves us, and therefore we love Him, the focus of our witness. The witness of God's people is not to tell how bad you've been, unless by acknowledging that you show how good Christ is. The witness of God's people does not focus on themselves. It is not to make people go out and say what a wonderful person that is, but it's to make people fall before the Savior and say what a wonderful Savior Jesus is. He's the focus of our witness.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.